Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning. 97.1, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Brendan Shabath on the updates. No Lions victory Monday today.
Nope.
John.
Back to the drawing board.
What the hell was that?
Well, I mean, if they just had some more time to get ready for them, they would have been all right. Oh, wait, they had 12 days. Yes. The 12 days of bye week. Can we sing that song?
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah. It just was just awful.
Pretty much, Dan Campbell took the blame. Said when it's all three phases, it's the head coach. John, this is the third straight time off extended prep they've looked bad. The bye week, week one, and the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure. I mean, we'll play the blame game today. Dan will get a hefty slice of blame as the head coach because 10 penalties, procedural issues, special teams gaffes, offensive breakdowns, Dan Campbell's offense, getting the quarterback sacked 5 times and running for 65 yards. Yeah, sure, you could put a big old slice of blame on Dan's plate.
Well, they're doing all they can, knowing that extra time off is not good for them, to make sure that they don't have the extra time off. I mean,
that's galaxy brain stuff.
The one seed is... We don't want it anyway. Right, yeah. Yeah. Who wants that?
We'll take a wild card route the way this is going, because that's the other thing. The Packers lost. They could be in first place today.
While the Packers are playing Carolina, and we're all taking a look. What are the Bears doing against the Bengals? What are the Pack doing against the Panthers? And as we're watching it, we're going, you know what? Hey, they're not playing good. They're not playing like we expect the Lions to play, but just pull this game out. Find a way to win a game you're not supposed to win. Not playing as you should win, because they should have won that game.
To me, the sequence that explains all of it was the drive that ended in a blocked field goal.
Ugh.
It was a 12-play, 33-yard drive. Figure that one out. 3 different penalties. 5 runs that went for 3 yards or less, just running into a brick wall, can't get anything going, can't get any push up front. And then it ends with a 2nd and 10, run for 1, a sack, and a blocked field goal. That's who the Detroit Lions were yesterday.
It was maddening, frustrating. I don't know if you ran into this. I don't know where you were watching the game from. Did you go home after the... Okay. There were multiple times where I had to... I turned the channel. I'm like, well, maybe if I turn the channel and turn it back, like, you know, you do the mute button, like you're trying to train some mojo. And at one point I was started off with trying to change the mojo. The rest of the time I'm turning it off because I just can't stand to watch inept football for a team that shouldn't be inept. And that's what is so frustrating and maddening about this team. They've got all the components. And in fact, we had talked about this defense with Aleem McNeil returning up front and Aiden Hutchinson signing a big deal. It doesn't change how he plays or performs. It's not about the contract. I just was so disappointed that they got pushed around at both lines of scrimmage. That, to me, was disgusting. At a minimum, you could be physical. It's like basketball. If, hey, shots aren't falling, offense isn't looking good, you could still play defense. And you can rebound, and it's all about, it's just, you can always play physical, and they didn't play physical.
what did you see with the offensive line, specifically those breakdowns? Because Jared Goff was a dead man for the entirety of that football game.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically the middle three. And Decker, I'm not going to say he was, you know, blameless, because there were times where he was getting pushed back. But it was the inside three that just, they couldn't handle a cross dog inside. And even if it wasn't a cross dog, they couldn't handle. The one that really made me get up, walk away as I'm, you know, shouting obscenities at the TV was the game where it was Mahogany, and it wasn't even a game. It was just a, you know, slant outside, and I think it was Javon Hargrave split a double team between Decker and Mahogany. At that point, I'm just like, you know what, today's not the day. I don't want to get emotionally invested. I just go out and blow leaves in the yard. That's what I turned to for a few minutes. But then I came back and said, nah, that's not this team. They're going to be all right. Nope. Should have just spent the day outside.
Yard work would have been a better choice.
I got the open lines if you want to call the vent. We'll play the blame game for much of the show today. TJ Lang for the final hour. We'll have Overreact Gyms, where we'll mix in a little bit of college football, the World Series, and the week that was in the NFL. But we start with the Lions, 248-539-9797. And there's plenty of blame to go around. You know, I mentioned Dan Campbell, you know, buck stops there, head coach. This is, again, a team not using their time off effectively to prepare. It's his offense, so as much as John Morton's going to take some heat today, Dan Campbell's offense, 5 of 17 on third down. You want to call out Morton for all this horizontal east and west stuff on third and long? Fine. Plenty of blame to go around. The offensive line, though, is where you can make up for everything. Yep. If you get a push, if you run the ball for more than 65 yards, all of a sudden it's third and short instead of third and long. Your quarterback's going to get a little more time because the O-line's firing out and putting that defense on their heels. If you can run the ball, you can play action pass. They couldn't generate a push. And then, John, you're right. I mean, the double A gap, the cross dog, the stunts, the twists. This offensive line, again, this wasn't just week one, again, looked overwhelmed. And that's an issue. I thought we were past this. Week one was this forgivable mulligan, right? It's week one. It's a young interior. You're figuring stuff out. You're on the road. John, they're at home with 2 weeks to prepare as 10-point favorites. And Dan Campbell had said these guards aren't rookies anymore. Well,
that's two-thirds of the equation inside. It was Graham didn't have his best game either. And even when they did, and I 100% expect that when we talk to Dan tomorrow, one of the things he may say is, you know, it was one guy on every play. Because even when you got good protection from the three on the interior, all five guys, then it was Jahmyr Gibbs come up with bad technique on a blitzing linebacker.
Dude, the one I'm thinking about, I think we're both talking about the same one. He gets like half a man.
Yeah.
And gave him no chance. Goff's trying to step up in the pocket, and there's nowhere to step up.
Yeah. It just, honestly, here's what it felt like. It felt like what we've had to watch on Saturdays. It was the undisciplined of Michigan State and the inept offense of Michigan. That's what the Lions were yesterday. That's what it was.
So it was a stew, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, the grossest stew you could ever eat on a fall Saturday, Sunday.
You kind of look at Sundays as, okay, well, at least we get to watch good football. Because we didn't see it on Saturday. And then that's what you're left with. And you look back on the weekend and go, well, at least it was sunny outside and we got an extra hour of sleep. That's it. That's the only good thing of the weekend.
That and hashtag Spartans will cover.
Yeah.
Another cover for Jonathan
Smith. Unless trick-or-treating went well.
Hope it did.
Trick-or-treating was amazing.
Yeah. The weather was really good on Friday.
Gosh. Let's just talk about Heather's trick-or-treating instead of the Lions. I mean, come on.
It's like the best day of the year so far. It was amazing.
Yeah. It was. And Teddy had a great time. Trick-or-treating was good. Jack's team won Friday night. So I got a chance to double dip in regards to trick-or-treating and football.
And then Sunday happened.
Then Saturday happened.
Well, yes.
And then Sunday happened.
But I think with Saturday, like, we just kind of know the teams aren't any good.
Yeah.
Sunday, like, this team's supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
Anything but. Let's get to the phones, 248-539-9797, where we start with Steve and Taylor. Steve, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Been better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you, Steve. Let's go.
Okay, thanks. Hey, I just want to get your take on one thing. One of my problems is the scheme with the coach. I do think it's a lot on the coaching. Gibbs is probably one of the best backs in the league. And I think this sharing time thing, I hate to say it, I think they should be going more with Gibbs. And it just seems like they're setting him up for the, you know, for when you bring Montgomery in, they almost know he's going to run, and they're all stuffing the line. And then I think on a play where he misses the block, again, he's got to do a better job. But at the same time, I want the bigger guy blocking that linebacker, because we know they're blitzing every other play. They blitzed 50% of the time yesterday. And so if you know you're going to pass on that play, and you know they're blitzing all the time, why not have the bigger back in on that play? They never use Gibbs on those quick passes that they had, real quick outs where he was getting a lot of yards on the outside. They never ran that one time yesterday. I mean, I just think the whole scheming was bad. The offensive line, I mean, there's so much to talk about what went wrong, but I just want your take on maybe not trying to share the ball so much with Montgomery. And I like him, but just my thought.
Well, it's not like Gibbs got anything going on the ground yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not like he wanted to keep feeding a guy who ran for 25 yards on 9 carries. Hey, more please.
Yeah. Well,
how much are we seeing them both on the field like we were supposed to?
Right.
The answer is because they have to put in tight ends because the offensive line. Because
they got to aid protection.
Rock Wright is more present this year than he was last year.
Well, I think it's part of why we haven't seen as much Tesla. You're right. It's why you don't see the two backs in the backfield. Yeah. You're playing 12 personnel. I mean, you're playing two tight ends.
Let's think about the contribution from the third wide receiver is non-existent on this team. And whatever you think about Josh Reynolds and Tim Patrick, they were part of this offense.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist this year because the offensive line is not very good.
Think about it. They have lost 2 of the last 3 football games they've played. And the offense hasn't looked good in 3 straight football games.
Nope.
So
some of the
as much as like some people may go, oh boy, it's going to be one of these overreacting Mondays. This is not about just one football game. That was a bad, gross football game. This is starting to be a bit of a trend now.
I think there's some blame on John Morton yesterday for the play calling, especially there was no adjustment. I thought Flores schooled him a little bit.
He did.
But I do think he's handcuffed by the offensive line. That's what stirs this entire drink.
We got open lines. We got phone calls to get to. 248-539-9797. Lions lose. It's 97-1.
Not a lot of highlights over the weekend, but I do want to share a highlight, and it's the great value your Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers are bringing you this month. Looking for a stylish SUV? You can lease a new Buick Envista or a stunning new Buick Encore GX for just $229 a month. Both are exceptional by design. Find your perfect Buick. These deals are happening right now at any of your 20 Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers. Tax, title, license, dealer fees, and optional equipment not included. Dealer sets the final price based on due at signing amount of $3,569. Must be a current lessee of a 2020 model year or newer Buick or GMC vehicle through GM Financial for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. No security deposit required. Mileage charge of 25 cents per mile over 20,000 miles at participating dealers only. Residency restrictions do apply. Visit GMCOfferInfo.com. That's GMCOfferInfo.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no Lions victory Monday today. That's as bad as they've looked in years. All three phases. Lost to a quarterback making his third start. Spot him short field position. 17 points came on drive starting in Lions territory. And the headline is this offense couldn't do anything. Goff sacked 5 times, ran for 65 total yards on the ground. A lot of empty trips.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the phones. Ryan in Sterling Heights. Ryan, you're on 97.1.
Hello, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what I was thinking about the offense is it just feels like they lost their identity this year almost. Because, I mean, this offense was stacked all last year with big explosive plays down the field. And I feel like this season it's just been we haven't seen nearly as many explosive plays, especially against teams that have a winning record. And I mean, like, especially when you see the box stacked up like that, that we saw a couple of times, I felt like we weren't seeing plays going down the field. It was almost just like short passes in the middle of the field. And it's like, why not just rip one up the seam, you know?
Well, so you have to be able to take what the defense is going to let you take, but you also have to force things. You also have to impose your will. And this offense is based on being able to run the football. It sets up those big plays down the field, but if you can't run the ball, you don't have those opportunities to dictate to the defense what you're doing.
20 runs for 65 yards.
Yeah. And that's what was most disgusting to me. I won't say disgusting. Yeah, I'll say disgusting.
You could be disgusted.
It was disappointing and disgusting all at the same time was the lack of movement, the lack of physicality at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
You want some sobering reality? This ticket text points out the Lions are now 1-2 in their division, 2-2 in conference play, and the offense hasn't looked the same. Not feeling great about this team, unnamed texter. Everybody relax. JJ just had the Lions signs. Signs, Steve. I'm tuning in with my popcorn, listening to all the Sky is Falling fans. Dan will right the ship. Jeff and Taylor. Look, I expect them to bomb the Commanders. I think that's a circle game, but that doesn't fix all of the other problems big picture here. This team's trying to win a Super Bowl, right, and I'm not seeing an offense gelling right now.
No, and you got a chance to get right on the road against the Commanders. And you better get right against the Commanders, because what happens the week after that?
Eagles, Sunday night
on
the road.
You're going to a much tougher environment.
And how about 2 weeks later after that? Yeah. Thanksgiving Day, Green Bay, maybe for the division.
So there's opportunity there for them to show the rest of the world, the rest of the NFL, that what you saw on Sunday is not them. The trend is not looking good. Right. But there are opportunities ahead, and all you got to do is wait another 6 days.
Boy, John is seething. I can feel it. Breathe, John. Yeah. Breathe.
I am. My football weekend was not a happy football weekend.
Guys, the only thing to talk about after the game, will Brad check his ego and make moves before the deadline? Tomorrow.
Yeah, and we'll get a chance.
Mahogany news.
Yeah, not good for the offensive line. And I'll go back to, I think they need depth on that offensive line. And we saw Taylor Decker take another hit. And it was able to keep playing, but you got a bad, you know, upper body injury, one that's been bothering you since the offseason, and now you complicate it with something on the lower half. You're going to need some reinforcements.
Joseph, you're next. You're on 97.1.
How you doing, guys and ladies?
Good morning.
Hey, John. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
Hey, I got one thing to say about this game yesterday. I think the biggest problem was they did not run that ball enough. They should have ran that ball from the beginning. They started throwing that ball as soon as that game started. They scored a touchdown, I give them that, at the beginning of the game. But they should have ran that ball down their throat.
But they couldn't.
Period.
But they couldn't.
I don't care if they scored. They had 1 yard. They should have kept doing it.
Okay, so you want to run on first down for one, second down for two, third down for one, and then punt the ball. Like, I agree with you. Their bread and butter's running it. They couldn't get, but they couldn't get a push. Those guys couldn't get a push up front.
And look what happened to our quarterback because of that.
Yep.
So I would have kept running until I softened them up a little bit. Then get the passing game going. I would have kept running that ball. Period.
Yeah.
That's how they lost that game.
They certainly did not run it effectively enough. And I'm not going to say anything about that first drive. That first drive was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they did. They came out slinging the ball around, but hey, there's nothing wrong with a 15-yard pass on first down to start the game off. And then you follow it up with an 11-yard pass and a 6-yard run. So things are... You're sitting there going, okay, this is exactly what today should be. A couple incompletions, and then you're faced with a fourth down, and you hit Laporta. Laporta runs everyone over, and you're thinking, again, this is how today is supposed to go.
Yeah, it ended up being the outlier.
That was it.
All right, more phone calls. Blame game first. Heather with the news.
This news is brought to you by Gardner White. Well, on Friday, federal agents announced that they stopped what they believed was a potential Halloween weekend terror attack in Metro Detroit, arresting five young men between the ages of 16 and 20. Investigators say the group had been chatting online about this planned attack. They were using different phrases like Pumpkin Day as code for Halloween. Well, now one of the defense attorneys is pushing back, calling the case fear-mongering, and he says that there's no evidence at all of a real plan, just online talk among gamers that the FBI turned into something bigger. This attorney, who's representing a 20-year-old from Dearborn, says he doesn't expect any charges to be filed. The FBI hasn't really released many specifics, but did say that there is no ongoing threat to the public.
I think you let the facts come out, but I'm never going to be mad at them taking something seriously and preventing something awful.
Right. I mean, it's, again, I mean, the same thing that we talked about when they made the arrests with the NBA, right? You don't feel like they're going to do something like this without at least a basis for concern. Yep.
Police in Canton are investigating a report regarding a needle that was found sticking out of a candy bar handed out during trick-or-treating. You always hear these stories. I mean, yeah. I remember even as a kid.
Oh, yeah, razor blades.
Yes, you got to check each piece of candy before you eat it. Well, police are saying, hey, you should be diligent in looking into what you're eating, especially giving it to your kids. But police say there was a sewing needle found in a Twix. And it was passed out in the area, they say, of Salts and Sheldon Road. Nobody was seriously injured, but police are saying, hey, you need to be aware of this in this community and maybe everywhere. Just kind of thoroughly inspect the candy that you got on Halloween. And if you do see something suspicious, give police a call. Yeah. A person of interest has been taken into custody after a body was found in a Macomb County driveway. The body was discovered just before 10 a.m. on Saturday in the driveway of a home. It was near an intersection of Francis Street and Harper Avenue. And authorities still haven't released a ton of information, but they do say that the body had injuries consistent with being hit by a car, is what it looked like. I mean, obviously neighbors in that area were alarmed to see a body that had been covered, but to see what was going on. But it sounds like it was a hit and run, but they found the person responsible, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
Well, somebody's arrested.
Sure, okay.
So whether that was the person responsible or, I mean,
got to be
connected to it.
Connected to it somehow, yeah.
A giant teddy bear now sits outside the Hudson Building in Detroit. Well, technically between the Hudson's buildings. The bear is kind of a nod to Hudson's past. If you remember when the department store was up and running, it was known for its Santa bears. Do you remember those, Jim?
I don't.
No, I have one. I gave one to my kids. It's well loved from when I was little. But anyway, it's all part of the holiday programming for Decked Out Detroit, and it includes the return of a teddy bear. So
cool.
That's why it's there. Finally, a little history was made in Las Vegas on Sunday. Jacksonville Jaguars kicker Cam Little set a new NFL record after successfully kicking a 68-yard field goal at the end of the first half of Sunday's overtime win over the Raiders.
Broke Tucker's record.
Yes.
That happened against the Lions.
In 2021.
That's cool. It was fun to see.
He just said, if you kick it long enough and you kick it straight enough,
it'll go through the uprights. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Yogi.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, plenty to blame to go around. Get your phone calls in the mix on that. Overreactions from the weekend at 7 o'clock. It's 97.1.
Hey, Detroit. It's Heather here with some big news. Verizon, America's best 5G network, wants you to bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill, and they'll give you a better deal. If you think Verizon is expensive, well, think again. Not only does Verizon let you lock in a low price for 3 years, everyone in the family can mix and match their plans with My Plan. And everyone can get the same great phone deals when they trade in an eligible phone in any condition on My Plan. That means new and existing customers. That's more reasons to save, more reasons to switch. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to your local Detroit Verizon store, and they'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetrics United States Root Score Report dated first half 2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid customer mobile bill dated within the past 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as the person redeeming the deal. 3-year price lock applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms apply to promotional offers. See www.verizon.com/switch-to-verizon/.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's great energy from Dan Miller. That start did not sustain.
I thought it was primed to be business as usual. That the Lions were just going to do that throughout the course of the game. And I honestly thought, especially with JJ, like, JJ, what's going on with JJ in Minnesota? We saw him play the first couple of games and had a good quarter. And then all of a sudden there's this ankle injury. Nobody saw him limp off. Nobody, you know, we thought maybe it was just an excuse to give him more time. And maybe it was.
Maybe.
But you were anticipating, oh, okay, you know, hey, three and out. Nope, they march right down the field, score as well.
Well, aided by a big special teams return.
I mean, that may be the biggest surprise, because with Coach Phipp and the special teams, they have been dominant for a number of years.
Yeah, and look, I don't think JJ played poorly at all. He handled some third and long blitzes, but he didn't have to be special, because 17 Viking points came from drive starting in Lions territory. A return, a blocked field goal, a fumble, spoon-fed to a young quarterback. That's exactly how you lose a game like that. So look, there's plenty of blame to go around, and we'll ask you to play the blame game with us. 248-539-9797. Dan Campbell, as you'd expect, put it on himself. Look, it's Dan Campbell's offense. Dan Campbell's a guy that's got to get him ready with extra time. And this is the third straight time that they've had extra days to prepare and looked flat. This game, week one, and the playoff game. So you want to blame Dan? Go for it. You want to blame John Morton? Look, they were 5 of 17 on third down. Third downs have been an issue all season. A lot of this horizontal stuff, driving people crazy with the screen games, it's not clicking. And then, of course, I think it always comes back to up front on the offensive line. You can make a play caller look good if you get a push. When the offensive line can't pick up free blitzers, Jared Goff's dead, and the offense isn't going to move. So I do think it all eventually distills down to the five up front, the tight ends in the backs and pass pro. That was the biggest thing to me. I blame them the most.
Yeah, and as good as Laporta was on that opening drive, you know, he was the first 5-yard penalty on the next drive, where it was three plays, negative 7 yards, and punt. And, I mean, that was the first of the penalties. And then you go, you know, later in the game where him and Amon-Ra St. Brown go in motion at the same time. Like, okay, they just, how do you come out of a bye week? And those are the mistakes that you're making. And you're not talking about a rookie tight end or a rookie wide receiver. These are two veteran guys. What the hell is going on? And yeah, I am. We had the ticket text that I'm a little upset. I am upset because they got out-physicaled. You should never get out-physicaled with this bunch up front defensively or on the offensive line. It's unacceptable. You can get beat because they are. I didn't expect them to go undefeated, but that is what drives me crazy.
248-539-9797. Throw 10 penalties in there. You're right. Procedural dumb stuff. It's not even like, quote, crimes of passion, right? Like you're playing to the whistle and I got a little too physical and we can deal with playing up to the edge. John, it was soft and it was dumb stuff. And it's the type of stuff that's unforgivable. It's the type of stuff that gets you beat. Let's get to the phones. Keith, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
To me, two things. Special teams lost their game for them. the block kick, the block kick, the kickoff on the second after the Lions scored a touchdown. That set the tone for Minnesota, and they never recovered. Even that block kick, they were still in the game. That, but to me, I think it was the off week. But something is different this time. Amirad has been dropping some passes, and I don't know what it was going on with him, because he usually catch those passes that, you know, that little offbeat sometimes.
You want to talk about a bad rough in the passer call? I hated that. I hate that that's the direction football has gone, because I don't know that Jack Campbell can do anything more in that spot. It even looked like he held up going to the ground, and they said body weight. I'm sorry. Next time he's supposed to just let the quarterback get off a clean throw from the pocket. It's garbage.
It is garbage. The rule is flawed, and I understand why they're trying to do that. The NFL is all based on offense and quarterbacks. They want to protect the quarterbacks. They want to put a skirt on them. That's fine. The issue is you are going to at some point. It hasn't happened. Maybe it has happened. It just hasn't happened to our Lions. If Jack Campbell goes in and makes that hit, which is a legal hit, if you watch that, and I encourage everybody to go do that, I thought he did a tremendous job of, hey, he had him wrapped up, which is what you are taught to do, is form tackling.
Saw what he hit, didn't lead with the helmet.
Yep. Didn't hit him head, you know, not helmet to helmet, didn't, and no illegal contact. It's just the fact that he fell on top of him, which is bizarre.
He needs to not have gravity apply in that moment. It's his, my bad.
He actually releases him and tries to brace himself with his hands on the ground so that his body weight does not come down on JJ. At some point, he is putting himself at risk of injury. How many times do we see it where guys fall down and it's just they put their hand on the ground and it's because of their momentum, or it's their own body weight, they break a wrist, break a hand. Like, that's what Jack Campbell put himself at risk of doing, and yet he still got called with a penalty.
And even the TV broadcast is like, yeah, it's a dumb rule, but that's the rule. Okay, sweet. Now, it didn't decide the game. Like, JJ, I believe, threw a pick later on the drive. Terry Arnold gets his first career interception on a hell of an effort. It's just going to get lost in the shuffle of everything. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Q in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing, man?
What's up?
So, look, you have to admit, it was a terrible game all the way around. The coaching staff didn't do a good job of preparing these guys. The players didn't have enough passion when they played. You know, this is a division rival. We got to go out there and play with more passion. But you got to look at the NFC. It's still wide open. You know, the Packers lost, so we still at pace with them. Bad that the Bears won, because now our division all is at 500. It's going to be tougher than what we thought. But I still got the Lions winning 12 games. I can still see a path for us to win 12 games. We still play majority of our games inside this for the rest of the year. So it's not like we can't turn it around. But that offense, man, that's what we're known for is offense. This year is not looking good. I don't know. I don't like the screen passes. I don't like a lot of play calls be kind of questionable, like right before the two-minute warning. I don't know what they was doing. No urgency. Just, you know, we still score, but it's just something didn't look right. And we don't look like a Super Bowl contender. I'm just going to be honest. But I still see us winning 12 games, but it's going to be tough if we playing like that. So.
No, I know. You circle Thanksgiving Day against the Packers, it's going to go a long way, and it's a month away, so you got time to clean some stuff up. But it's just not good enough.
It's not. It's not. Drives you nuts.
248-539-9797. Back to the phones. Sean in West Bloomfield. Good morning.
Hey, guys. So in all three losses, there seemed to be a common theme, to my eyes at least, is that the middle of our line was just getting manhandled, and that was not the case in the five wins. They seemed to, you know, hold up, but, you know, when the middle of your line is getting blown up, you can't run the football. Goff's got no time, and I'm just wondering, I love John's take on this, like, are they keying in on something, those three teams, or they just have superior D lines? Because that's daunting for the playoffs if that's the case, but, you know, to have our interior line just blown to pieces in three losses is a problem.
Well, so Sean, one of the things that you get with rookies, and I know Dan Campbell said, hey, they're not rookies anymore. They still are. It's a long season. It's going to be a roller coaster. You're going to have some performances where they're better than others. You just wouldn't expect to have a down performance. The first game against Green Bay, hey, welcome to the NFL. That happens. At this point, you don't expect it to last for 60 minutes. And it did.
KC, too. I mean, KC just blew up that interior line just like Minnesota did last night. It just, it's concerning. I mean, I don't know why that is. That's a,
KC, you expect it from, at times, with a guy like Chris Jones.
Right.
Not Javon Hargrave.
So in the playoffs, we're going to see good D lines, right? Right.
I mean, that's what I was going to say too, Sean.
Right. You're right. Like, will they beat the Commanders next week? But yeah, probably. But and will they be able to win three or four consecutive playoff games against real fronts who are going to stunt and twist and bully and punish? That's a real concern.
And I'll go back to what I said at the beginning of the season. Starting off the year when we had this little back and forth, you and I, that, yeah, they're not starting off as a top 10 offensive line. No one in their wildest dreams thought that that would be how they would start the season.
They got to end there, though.
But that's where they've got to end. And you're going to have bumps along the way. You hope that it doesn't last for four quarters. But it did. And it happened at a time where you're coming out of a bye week. That's unacceptable. Against Chris Jones, sure. Against a much better defensive line, and the Green Bay has a good defensive front. I could accept it, especially week one. But this is not a dominating defensive front. Javon Hargrave, what is he, 35 years old? It's close to it.
Yeah.
Come on. That I did not see that coming yesterday out of a bye week midseason.
I think this is the first time since the Lions have been good under Campbell where they looked like they weren't prepared to play. Yep. Like really, really looked like they were looking ahead. Like, I feel like the Commanders game is the game they've circled all year. Like, they want to right the wrong like they did Dallas the previous year, and you got the Eagles after that. They looked like they were looking past this team, and that they knew that they were buying the narrative that they were playing against McCarthy, who had played one good quarter all season.
So it's if that's the case, if they were looking ahead and they were preparing all week to play against Washington or against the Eagles and not against Minnesota, shame on them, because this was an opportunity where you could have absolutely pounded a division opponent.
And beyond that, you'd be sitting in first place today.
Right.
Because I know we got the call. Well, at least Green Bay lost. I don't want to hear about at least Green Bay lost. All that is a missed opportunity. I don't care that they look bad. I care about this team getting it right here. And with the Mahogany news, could be out till late December / the rest of the season. We're going to be talking about that with the deadline tomorrow. 248-539-9797. We got phone calls to get to. Overreact Jim's at 702. It's 97.1.
FanDuel Sportsbook app is your home for all your favorite NFL bets. From yards to touchdown to who's going to win. And with FanDuel, any play can be the play of the game. Tonight, Monday Night Football, FanDuel is giving all customers a 30% profit boost token. That's right. You can get in on all the action with a 30% PBT this Monday night. So make FanDuel your go-to app for any and every snap. Just visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to bet on the game. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dan Miller's call, Lions lose.
Yes, and I do believe I, introspectively, looking back at the last 52 minutes, I'm going to try and calm down a little bit, and I feel like I am shouting at our listeners a little bit more than I normally do.
You're seething is what the text
said. I am seething about the performance. I will try and speak a little bit more calmly on it so you're not getting yelled at on your way into work. You had nothing to do with it. There's a lot of, you, our listeners.
There's a lot of passion, and a lot of that's coming from the phones today, too. Yeah. We'll get back to those calls in a second. 248-539-9797. We'll make some room for you. It's a bad loss.
Yeah.
Like week one on the road, Green Bay, a little more understandable with an interior that you're breaking in. At Kansas City, a little more understandable. At home, as 10-point favorites, with a quarterback making just his third NFL start, to take 10 penalties out of a bye week. At home, to have communication issues up front, not being able to handle the blitz or the pressure or the stunts or the twists of the games. That's an issue. That's a bad loss. And we've had no shortage of blame to hand out today. You want to go to the top with the head coach on preparation. You want to go OC. What are we doing on third and long? You want to go offensive line. We're just not running it. Doesn't matter what plays are called. Can't protect our quarterback. Doesn't matter what plays are called.
And I want to share this one from Twitch because I heard this a little bit last night. And it comes from Midnight Traveler. Do you think they were trying to wait on J-Mo routes and should have been just going doing the quick hitting pass plays, right? So we go back to last week and everybody says, oh, well, they need to hit Jameer or they need to hit J-Mo deep. Not yesterday. They didn't even have enough time to hit, you know, some short crossing routes. Like Jared Goff was under duress instantly. And that's what happens when you have insufficient play from the interior three. It happens quick. If you get pressure from the tackles, generally, especially with our tackles, they do a nice job of not allowing guys to beat them inside. They get beat, it's going to be around the edge or it's going to be a bull rush, and Jared Goff has time to dump the ball off and, you know, down or at least escape the pocket. If you get beat on the inside, the way that they were getting beat, it happens now, and there is zero Jared Goff can do about it.
Some ticket text. The Lions offense hasn't looked the same all year. Looks like the players are not too thrilled with Morton's play calling. Too much conservative stuff. With Ben Johnson, they were more unpredictable. In the end, Ben Johnson will get the last laugh. Signed, Jim. I do think they win that game with Ben Johnson. He had owned Flores. They had done such a better job at handling Minnesota's pressure with Ben Johnson as the play caller.
If
unequivocally.
Ben Johnson is the play caller. You still have the three interior offensive linemen that you have yesterday. And I don't know that I'll fight back on that a little bit. I don't know if it's any different.
I think it might have been. I think Ben Johnson, you can't deny what this offense did against the Vikings when he was the OC and Flores was the DC.
30 plus points every time.
Now, while I also agree with you, John, I think it would have been still very tight because you can't mask that all the time, but it's getting rid of the ball.
Maybe
and
he
not to
would
the
have
outside.
Had them.
It's down, it's like do a dump screen right over that pressure.
Yes, and maybe he would have had them more prepared. Maybe he's just better at preparing the offense over a bye week than John Morton was. But that goes back to Dan Campbell as well.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
Look, all this is interconnected. I mean, every play caller is going to look better if you're running for 5 yards a carry instead of 3 yards a carry. Every play caller is going to look better when his quarterback gets another second or second and a half to get to that next read, to get the ball out. 248-539-9797.
I know, and we are giving more, you know, we're criticizing the offensive line more than anything probably this morning.
Yes.
And I know we've mentioned a little bit, but the run defense was absolutely atrocious.
They gave up like 150 yards.
To a dinosaur.
Yeah. When on a day where you know the other quarterback's going to lean on a ground game to help him in you know, advantageous spots. Yeah.
Right. And it's not like, okay, JJ is mobile, but he's not Lamar, right? and it's not Derrick Henry back there. Like, they have shown, and that's what's frustrating about this, is without Aleem McNeil, they have shown that they can hold in check a good run offense with a mobile quarterback. So once you do it, the expectation is that you will be able to do it again. And they just didn't. And on the touchdown that JJ ran at the end of the game, the reason that was successful is they're running a game on the edge with Hutch and I forget who else was running the game with them, but they allowed JJ to get out. Whoever was supposed to have contain did not, and it wasn't Hutch, it was whoever the other defensive lineman. I'll go back and look and make sure we name names. But that defensive lineman, as he loops out, is supposed to be the one that contains. He didn't. And then Alex Anzalone took a bad path to cut off JJ. So
that was awful, by the way. What was he thinking?
I don't know. I looked at that and I thought, okay, broke contain, but at least we'll have a veteran linebacker, you know, shut him down.
Oops.
And I looked at that going, what are you doing?
That play stood out to me. I said it in real time, sitting there watching a game with Connor. I'm like, why did he come straight up at him? You get him to the sideline, right?
Yeah, and I got to watch the same thing on Saturdays where guys are taking bad paths, and now I got to watch it on Sundays too. I'm not.
At least they're young.
Deep breaths.
Goose Rabba.
Let's get to Matt in Dearborn. Matt, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Yeah, John, you can yell at us today. It's all good. I just think how are they not prepared? It's happened, like you guys said, three different times. We come into this game, and who do they think they are? I mean, you guys they have to be prepared for something like this, and they've done it three different times in three big games. Did they not think this was a big game? It's just how. I don't know how you're not prepared for games like this. Love your guys' show. I'll talk to you.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's jarring, too, because, I mean, over the last few years, they never lose division games, right? Dan Campbell came into the season 17-3 his last 20 games in the division. They're 1-2 right now at the midpoint of the season. 248-539-9797. We got Overreact Gyms coming up next at the top of the hour. We'll get into everything else in the NFL. A little World Series talk and college football as well. The weekend Overreact Gyms. It's 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.